Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That if it plays go for moving the chain stats more than George Pickens, Puka Nacua, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Jaxon Smith-Njigba. That's it. He's been better than everyone else.
And by percentage, he's actually, I would assume, been the best. 21 of his 23 catches have been for first downs. Nacua's 31 of 52. So if you're just going by like when George Pickens catches
right.
the ball, is it a first down?
He's,
it's like 90 plus percent of the time.
He's fifth in another stat that's called big plays, which is passing plays that go for more than 20 yards, or sixth, excuse me. There's only five guys there, JSN, Abuka, Tet McMillan, Justin Jefferson, and Puka Nacua, who are better there. Simply put, through 5 weeks, he's been one of the 10 or 15 best wide receivers in the entire NFL. And the Cowboys of all teams and the circus atmosphere that is the Dallas Cowboys at all times, where the owner is now in the news for giving fans double birds.
I thought it was a single bird.
Was it a single bird?
He claimed he was trying to give them a thumbs up.
Oh, get out of here.
He who has not flipped somebody the bird while meaning to give a thumbs up cast the first stone on
okay?
that one, boys.
Like, they're always creating distractions. They're known more for distractions than anything else now.
Mm-hmm.
And he has gone there and largely walked the straight and narrow. And I will say all you got back is a third round pick that you couldn't even use to make this year's team better because of when you got it. And the whole idea of, well, that's now going to go into the kitty. We need to save up. We need to open up an account like we're saving for a trip to Disney because we're, you know, need to bank picks for the quarterback in next year's draft. That looks pretty sketchy right now because of what Drew Aller and Arch Manning. Arch Manning should probably get benched at Texas right now. So, like, we traded George Pickens, but it was in the name of something greater, this greater good of collecting picks to apply to our next quarterback. That doesn't even really make sense right now, Chris.
I don't miss him. So I'm glad he's not on the Steelers. He's had three, I would say, good games where you score a touchdown, you have at least 60 yards or 55 yards, pretty good. He's had one bad game, the Philly game, I would argue. And then he's had one exceptional game, which was the Green Bay game where he went kind of ballistic in a way we've seen him go. I don't think that the problems for George Pickens that he had here have really gone away. And I think that a lot of his production is explained by the fact that he is playing for a team that is pretty much all pass all the time with a better quarterback. Dak's playing really good football, I would argue. He is, of course, going to put up numbers when CeeDee Lamb is hurt, and he is now their featured target, and he's just going to get force-fed the football. I don't think that this is a case of anything other than you break up and you wonder every so often if you should call your ex to see how she's doing, and if you're really being clear-headed about it, you realize you broke up for a reason. And the fact that they only got a third that they couldn't use to help this year's team in return does not factor into whether I wish he was on the Steelers. I don't, because
okay.
I think he would be the same disruptive, problematic player that he was for the majority of his time
All right,
here.
But there were a lot of times where I mean, I will even admit this as someone who didn't like him here either and was thrilled to see him go. There were times where the production outweighed the headache. And obviously right now that's happening with the Cowboys. Just to make sure I hear you right, you think that so far, if you were to grade this trade, good trade or bad trade, you're still putting it in the good trade category?
That's not really the question you asked.
Well, though. I know, but I'm just,
wish they had
I'm
gotten
asking,
a little bit
I'm
more
I'm asking
for him.
You that as a corollary to what I said.
It is a good trade because he's not
a
here
good
anymore.
Good trade?
Because he's not here anymore, and I think it would have been a problem. I think DK Metcalf has been equally productive relative to the number of targets he's received.
I agree with
Pickens.
That, but they could have both.
I don't think George Pickens would be playing nice in this situation.
Okay, so then...
DK Metcalf has 22 right. targets, so we know that they wouldn't be throwing a ton to Pickens, and we know that when Pickens doesn't get targeted, he gets mad.
Okay, so then you do think it's a ticking time bomb, and when CeeDee Lamb comes back, he is going to explode there? That's reasonable, that's fine, but it's the same thing I said about Tomlin last hour. Through five games, so far through this season... I'm shocked that you could actually say it's a good trade. The Steelers have a very thin receiving core. Calvin Austin is now less than 100%. The third round pick you do have at wide receiver can't even get on the field and do anything but catch one ball in four games. And this guy has been uber, uber productive. And he has not turned into a malcontent for them yet. And I do disagree with the fact that they're all pass, no run. I mean, Javonte Williams is coming off one of the best games I think probably his best game ever.
I mean, he's been targeted
against the Jets.
He's been targeted 15 more times than DK Metcalf has. They're throwing the ball to Jake Ferguson constantly. They pass the ball a lot. They're trailing a lot in games because their defense is ass.
Yes, right.
So
I
think
that.
For a guy who always cared more about his own numbers than the team succeeding,
right.
being down in games and putting up numbers will keep him pretty happy.
Donnie, do you agree with Chris that it was a good trade five games in?
I mean, I still remember the day it happened. You guys were... in jubilation in there, and I said, listen, I know the guy's a pain in the ass, but I'm not in love with the trade because it put them in the same situation.
Are you less
situation.
In love with it now?
Yeah, I mean, I would say I am. And it put them in the same situation they were just in 2024, and they are a DK Metcalf injury, or even you know one that would have him miss a couple of games, not even season-long, kind of like George Pickens last season, away from a disaster at that position. They are afraid to play Roman Wilson, who was a third-round pick, by the way. So that doesn't really entice and make me feel any better about, hey, they got a third-round pick back. Look how that's been wasted over the years. And I think it was fair to assume, given his track record, that he would have been an issue here. Pickens, that is, with Metcalf, with Rodgers. But we all just jumped to that assumption because everybody else also said, well, just wait, he's going to go to Dallas and play second fiddle to CeeDee Lamb. And well, it doesn't seem like that's hurting him all that much now. I know Lamb's missed a few games.
That's the whole crux of Mulsey's argument, that if Lamb is healthy, Pickens would have already blown up there.
And we just assume that.
I mean, I think it's a reasonable assumption. If you go chronologically, he goes, when did Lamb get hurt? Second game or third game?
He got hurt in the Bears game.
Okay. So Pickens did get 9 targets in the second game. He got 4 in week 1. He then has gotten 9, 11, and then 4 again. The Jets, they didn't need to throw the ball.
He scored a touchdown on a bomb in that game,
I know.
Too.
He scored a touchdown in 4 straight. I mean, he's got a 43-yarder. He had a huge game against the Packers while they were catching up in that game, or it's kind of back and forth, really. I guess you've asked, do you miss him, Steelers fans? Then you've asked, do you think that the trade was a good trade? I would simply ask this. What did you want them to do with Pickens? Play out the string and hope it worked?
I didn't at the time, but I was working under the assumption that the Steelers weren't going to be a good football team this year. And so
they're still not a team that does the one thing he wants, which is you could guarantee targets him all the time.
Yeah, but Chris, if they ran the offense, they haven't really been in a position to do that. I mean, I guess in the Seattle game, they should have been because they were trailing for most of that game. So there were more targets to go around. But like the Jets game, they came out throwing the ball because they couldn't run it. So there would have been targets the
thing
there for him.
The other thing here is relevant to me too. Dak Prescott's a lot of things. I don't think Dak Prescott is like a fire and brimstone, get in your face quarterback. We know George Pickens runs sloppy routes. Do you agree with that? He is not always the most detail-oriented route runner.
Yeah, I agree.
We also know Aaron Rodgers despises it. He was ready to rip Calvin Austin's head off for running a route that cost them a touchdown.
I think that would have
been a powder keg too.
But if George Pickens is playing in the Seahawks game instead of Calvin Austin, do they win?
I have no idea, because I have no idea how George Pickens is acting. Is he just half-assing it on a random play? Is he running the wrong route there?
I mean,
absolutely a case made that he would have.
I know, but he's not doing it in Dallas of all places.
I don't know. He had a ball go right off his hands and go into a Bears defender's hands.
I said that, but he's made up for it with way more good plays. Aaron Rodgers also threw a football right to Robert Spillane. I don't just obsess over that because he's made way more good plays to make up for that. Pickens, unfortunately, has made way more good plays than the just say, well, his defining moment in 2025 is, you know, shuffling the ball off to a Bears defender. It hasn't been. The stats are the stats. The numbers don't lie. He's been one of the best receivers in the NFL this year. And we still bitch about how the Steelers don't have good enough receivers. So I don't know how right now he isn't missed.
I don't, because I don't think it would be going well here. It's pretty easy for me to say.
But isn't that an indictment then on Mike Tomlin then? Because if Brian Schottenheimer, of all people, can get George Pickens
I think getting George Pickens to play the way he's supposed to play is as simple as be trailing a lot in games and need to throw the ball to George
not
Pickens.
Not necessarily. I mean, the Steelers were allowed, if they had DK Metcalf and George Pickens, I don't know, to actually be a pass-first offense and not be hell-bent on running the ball.
Do you want to be a pass-first offense with the way the line played for most of these first four games?
I mean, if as long as they're not, you know, taken until 7 Mississippi to get the ball out, yes. I have no problem with that.
I agree with Nate, who tweeted in that the Cowboys and Pickens are very much in the honeymoon phase. I agree with that. It might last a little while longer while he continues to be their primary target in the pass game and Dak's throwing like a good ball.
So you guys have no regrets whatsoever.
I don't even think Donnie, No. I think Donnie, to be fair here, is saying
Donnie's got major regrets. He didn't like it from the very beginning.
Well, that's why he doesn't have regrets. He was never on board with it. You and I were on board with it, and you sound like you're having seller's remorse.
I am having some seller's remorse. Look at what the guy's doing.
I'm not. Apparently the theme of today's show is Pony goes back on previously held opinions. I'm standing firm over here.
So just to make sure I get you right, if he was leading the NFL right now in catches and yards, you'd still say, well, eventually it's going to blow up there. It's only because CeeDee Lamb's hurt?
Don't have to answer. Well, if he was leading the NFL, actually I would. And I'd be like, what's Dallas's record? 2-2-1.
Well, why don't you do that with Myles Garrett? You never say, well, look at the Browns' record. You just always say he's a great player regardless of what their record is.
Did Myles Garrett play for the Steelers and then get traded because he was a malcontent?
No, I'm just saying, why is it like...
How is Myles Garrett applicable to this situation at all?
Because you just said that...
Pickens' numbers in Dallas absolutely are a function of what Dallas finds themselves doing in games, which is trailing.
Chris, they never trailed against the Jets. What are you talking about?
His biggest game was a wild back-and-forth affair with the Packers. He had two catches against the Jets. He had one touchdown.
Yes, and he made them count.
Okay.
All right. How many games did DK Metcalf have where he had a bunch of catches? Does he have any this year? We think he's done a pretty good job. It's about quality, not quantity. Why do I care if a guy has 11 catches if he has 57 yards? Is he making something with him or not? You just said it. Almost all of his catches are first downs. How is that not a feather in his cap?
It wouldn't be happening here is the bottom line, too. That's been my real bottom line from moment one.
Donnie just said it. How do you know that for sure?
Because I've watched George Pickens with my eyes and I have a brain.
And we're watching him go off right now. In a contract year, in a situation
that I don't think is analogous to this one at all.
So you don't think the fact that it's a contract year has anything to do with the way he's played, even though that's been a part of professional sports for decades?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Will Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Got it.
It's not necessarily about pulling from people that aren't here. It's about the elevational roles of guys like Roman Wilson and Scotty Miller, for example. And so excited about watching those guys work and maybe get some elevated participation. I think that's one of the beautiful things of the journey that is a season. You're going to get faced with some challenges as a collective. One man's misfortune is another man's opportunity. Case in point, Jaylen Warren wasn't able to go in Dublin. And I think a lot of people had an opportunity to appreciate Kenny Gainwell, something that we already appreciated, something that we've been watching day to day during the course of team development. And so hopefully a week from now, if Calvin is unavailable, we're saying the same things about some others.
Mike Roman hasn't been utilized much, if at all, the first month or so. Is that more about the guys ahead of him than anything?
Or it might just be our selection of personnel groups. We've been talking a lot about multiple tight ends. Spencer Anderson reporting is eligible. The utilization of multiple tight end groups. And so his lack of participation might not mean anything relative to his performance or either what's going on at his position. It might just mean how we choose to deploy our personnel groups through the first month of the season. And so still very early in this process. We got 13 straight games ahead of us, so keep watching.
Yeah, keep watching everybody but Roman Wilson play. When you say that it gives you a competitive advantage to play a sixth offensive lineman and not utilize a third receiver, what you're really saying there is you don't have a lot of confidence or belief in your third receiver. Because if you thought your third receiver was a stud, you'd go three wide receiver sets and you'd make the defense make the adjustment and not the other way around. So that answer from Tomlin really doesn't hold water. Malzi here has been very stubborn and has said, even though George Pickens has played like a borderline Pro Bowl wide receiver for the first five games, he has zero seller's remorse over this trade and still believes getting a third round pick for George Pickens was a good deal. Do you agree with that? 412-928-9370 is the telephone number. Here is Emmanuel on the fan. Hello, Emmanuel.
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Yeah, wasn't sure if I was on speaker. No, I have to agree with Malzi. I just think the Steelers' offense is catered differently than the Cowboys. To be honest, I think Roman Wilson would be really good in the Cowboys' offense. I just think.
Oh, my God. Come on now. What are we doing here?
Yes. I think he'll be a good third receiver. He'll be a good third receiver. Yes, so, in the Cowboys' offense.
So the Cowboys' offense is that much better than the Steelers' offense?
They're constructed differently, they're more of a pass first offense. Similar to the Cincinnati Bengals.
What are we? The Steelers have one good run game against Minnesota, and now all of a sudden this is thunder and lightning, Franco Harrison, Rocky Blyer. What are we talking about?
Dallas is the fourth-ranked offense in the league.
They haven't been able to run the ball for like an entire year plus.
That's why they got two tight ends. They have a personality, a balanced offense. That's their approach.
And you can't have a balanced offense with two good wide receivers in it?
They believe in Calvin Austin. I'm telling you, this is what they believe in.
Dude,
and I don't think
they won a Super Bowl in 08 with Hines Ward and Santonio Holmes, and they wanted to run the ball. You can have two wide receivers. It's okay.
I just think that he will not be – he'll be a malcontent not getting the catches that he wanted.
Okay. Fair enough. Thank you.
Well, you clearly don't think it's fair enough because you don't believe that argument.
Well, when you start by saying Roman Wilson would thrive in another team's offense, you're off to a pretty crappy start when he can't even get the ball on a team that at the start of the season we did not think had a legitimate second receiver. And I'm still not sure we do. Calvin Austin's had two good games. He lost the Steelers a game, and now he's hurt. So I'm not – you want to say he's a good number two wide receiver? I'm not there yet.
No, because you have to be healthy to be a good number two. I mean, in 10 catches, 20% of Calvin Austin, his receptions are touchdowns this year.
In fact or fiction, five games into the season, George Pickens is the second best number two wide receiver in the NFL behind Davante Adams.
I mean, by the numbers, I would say fact.
Yeah.
I don't think he'd be putting up those numbers here.
I don't think he'd be putting up those numbers here.
I think he'd be whining and grousing and doing all the stuff that made people hate his guts here.
Do you think their record would be worse off?
No, I don't think it would be better, though.
Well, I don't think he, I guess he could have run the wrong route against Seattle. I guess that's
he never did that. No, he was actually known for being like the Jerry Rice of route running here and definitely not dogging it on plays where he wasn't going to get the ball.
Here is Tony and Butler. Hello, Tony.
Hey, how are you guys doing?
Hey, man.
Hey, I didn't like the Pickens trade to begin with, guys. I think it kind of, you know, finally we have an offense that's stepping it up. We're throwing the ball in the middle of the field. I can't help but to think we would be a better offense if he was still here. It's so hard to beat teams if you only have a number one and you don't have a 2, 3, and 4. I mean, we were in the same boat as we were last year. I feel like Pickens could have helped us.
This version of George Pickens absolutely could help them. Chris just doesn't believe there's any way they would get this version of George Pickens here. That's his whole argument.
I hear that a little bit. He was disgruntled here and what have you, but I just think he would have benefited so much because DK would draw the double coverage and he could have been running wild. And
yeah, what do you think of that, Chris? That is a good point.
I mean,
that it would be easier to get him the ball because there'd be so much attention on DK Metcalf.
If that's the case, I mean, how has DK Metcalf even caught a pass this season?
Well, he hasn't caught a lot of passes downfield. He's caught like no passes downfield.
He's got 3 touchdowns.
Well, yes,
which is
all
what
them
matters.
Are yes.
Other than the last one that was like, what, 80 yards or whatever?
That was a short pass that he ran.
That was like a 15-yard throw that he caught in stride.
So you would call that a long pass?
I would call that a play designed to be a game breaker. They talked about it as much. They thought they could get that look. And then he made it the big difference.
So wait a minute then. You don't think that you think that the Steelers are fine with him never, ever, ever catching balls downfield and doing everything short
the time,
with him?
I think for the time being, while they've been trying to work their offense,
I'm just
their
shocked
offensive
by this
line in.
Because
that, hold on, I'm not done. I think they're fine with him catching short passes until their offensive line gets better. I would imagine they want to take shots downfield. I think that is pretty sensible, and he has turned the latest one of those into an 80-yard touchdown that was a massive play in that game.
Yes. But this is interesting because I feel like for the first month you've not been happy with the Steelers' offense, and now that we're on the topic of George Pickens, you're like, you know what? I like the Steelers' offensive identity.
I like DK Metcalf being this guy more than George Pickens, because one of the major things everyone, including you, has agreed upon with DK Metcalf is, while he came with a very high price tag that they had to guarantee, when he hasn't been getting the ball, he has been an extremely engaged teammate.
And I
think that is worth something, and I also don't think George Pickens would be doing that.
I just don't understand why you make it one or the other. You're like, well, DK Metcalf is doing all those things. They could have both. It wasn't if you kept George Pickens around, you don't trade for DK Metcalf. You could have had both guys.
I just don't for a second believe you'd be getting this George Pickens here, not just because the offense is different, but because I don't think George would handle it well.
Here's Rob in West Mifflin. Hello, Rob.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
We're good.
Hey, Moles, you stole my thunder, man, because I watch football just like y'all, Red Zone, sometimes zone on certain games. I was watching a game, and I'm like, this dude is not going to be doing this when CeeDee Lamb comes back. Because every ball that he's catching, those are all CeeDee Lamb routes. And you think about it, who's the number two for Dallas the last couple of years? They wasn't doing anything because CeeDee Lamb was eating tremendously. But Brandon Cooks last year? I mean, I don't think he's going to do
my recollection of the Philly. Right. My recollection of the Philly game, when admittedly CeeDee Lamb had a horrible game and cost them what should have been a win, which I can't pretend didn't happen, is that the cameras were cutting to Pickens as if they were like, is this guy going to have an explosion because he only got looked at four times?
Even if I concede the argument that he would not be doing this here and he would be a malcontent, even if I concede that, hold on, Rob, even if I say you guys are right, getting a third round pick back for one of the most productive wide receivers in the NFL this season is not a good trade. If somebody went and hit 50 home runs for another team and the Pirates got back a crappy prospect, I couldn't just say, well, he wasn't going to hit those home runs here. It would still be a bad trade. The guy's on pace for what? For 15 touchdowns this year? More than that, actually.
He won't sniff 8. He won't sniff 8.
Yes, he will. That's ridiculous. All he needs is 3 more.
Guess what, Pony? Pony, guess what? What do you got, 5?
Yeah. So wait a minute. You think only getting a third?
I'm going to make a bet with you.
I'm not allowed to make a bet on the air with people. I've gotten
sorry,
in trouble with that
I'm sorry,
before.
But I'm okay. My bad. I'm sorry.
It's okay.
You clearly don't think he's going to get to 8.
No, I do think
Rob,
he will get. I think he will.
But I watch Dallas just like I do.
I know, but all I'm saying
is the number one and number two receiver. That only looks at him.
Okay. All I'm saying.
He only looks at
All I'm saying is that if the guy has 1,400 yards and 10 touchdowns and all we got back is a third-round pick, that's not a good trade. And I don't even know how anybody would argue with me on that.
I mean, I hear you on that. And guess what? Like you said about Tomlin, the first quarter of the year, people gave Tomlin their grace. He's having a great season so far. But I've seen the first two games when he was looking very, very frustrated. CeeDee Lamb got hurt. He moved up to the number one and took off.
I mean, even before Lamb got hurt, he had a great second game. I don't want to like split hairs here, but even before Lamb got injured,
I wouldn't
he was
call
very
it a
good.
Great second. He's had a very good game. He's had one good game great against game. The Giants. One great game.
What were his numbers against
three
the
Giants? Three good games. He hasn't. He's gotten one game where he went over 100. The other three games, he hasn't hit 70.
What were the Giants' stats?
Five catches for 68 yards and a touchdown.
That's a good game. I mean, if the Steelers
you
got
went
that
from great to very good, now to good.
Okay.
He hasn't topped 70 yards but one time.
Good game.
He has one humongous game this year.
But I still can't fathom. If he's top 10 in receiving and all we got back is a third-round pick, you're still saying that's a good trade?
Yes, because George Pickens isn't here anymore.
But you gave up a guy that had a great season and got back a crappy pick. How is that a good trade?
I think it's the classic addition by subtraction. I don't think it was going to work here. I think it had very reached its sell-by date.
Okay, when you put it that way, then... addition by subtraction is also dependent on the kind of season the Steelers have, right?
Sure.
I mean, if they go 8-9 and don't make the playoffs and he has a top 10 receiving season, then, I mean,
well, if they go 8-9 and don't make the playoffs, but Dallas goes 6-10-1 and they don't make the playoffs, then who won the trade?
I don't know. When Barry Sanders was going for 1,800 yards, but the Lions were missing the playoffs, did that make it a bad pick? It's about how the guy does.
So if the Steelers, just to make sure I'm hearing you clearly, go two games better, but go 8-9 than the Cowboys, but he has a good season. That's irrelevant. But if the Steelers go 8-9 and what, the Cowboys go, I don't understand. This only seems to go one way
because
with you.
Because you brought it up. I didn't bring up addition by subtraction. You did. You're the one that made it seem like team results were relevant.
But if he was
I
such a great
that.
Impactful player and then the Cowboys weren't any better with him, then why would it be such a bad trade? If the Cowboys don't really see any gains on the win-loss column from George
Pickens.
Well,
that's not his fault that they traded Micah Parsons and their defense stinks, right? How was that his fault?
I mean, if he was this unbelievable difference maker that could have made the Steelers better, certainly he could have helped the Cowboys just outscore
everybody. I mean, that's
not
really answering my question, because you know I'm right about that. How is it George Pickens' fault that they traded Micah Parsons and their defense stinks?
I'm sure Jerry thought that they couldn't handle two big personalities like
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
That in Dallas.
That music means it's time for the Donnie Football Debrief. It's brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company. Over 100 years of baking experience. This is when Donnie picks out his favorite or biggest football topic of the day, and we discuss. Don?
The Debrief, October 7, 2025. Some breaking news here from just 2 minutes ago. Ian Rappaport reporting that the Chargers are trading with the Ravens for edge rusher Adafe Owe, which I find would be pretty interesting to listeners because this isn't just some scrub player getting traded. This is a selling point of sorts for the Ravens. It makes me wonder, is the Jackson injury worse than originally anticipated? Because why else would the Ravens, who are struggling on defense as is, trade away somebody that could get after the quarterback?
The Chargers need him because no Khalil Mack. So they've been hit by the injury bug, but that's what presumably he would be in there to do.
That was my first thought, Don. He's coming off a 10-sack season, Owe is, but he hasn't done anything this year. No sacks, one tackle for loss. Pony off the air said he stinks, which might be an accurate representation of the player at this point in time. But my first thought was, do they know something that they're not saying, which I'm sure they do to some extent, about how bad this hamstring is for Jackson? Because if he's going to be out 8 weeks, the ultimate smart franchise would just say, we're not winning without him. We might as well trade off some tradable assets and get some picks. I mean, that's, to me, that's like a Howie Roseman move. That is a DaCosta move.
Wait, did Donnie say what they're getting back? I might have missed that.
I have not seen a return
yet. I didn't see that in
yet.
The initial okay. tweet. Is that out there?
I haven't seen it yet. No, my thing on this trade is I think it's...
Here it is. Here, I got it.
You got it?
Alohi Gilman in a 2026 fifth going to the Ravens, Owe in a Rams seventh. So the Rams 7th, or I guess Schefter means the Chargers 7th, but that's what the trade is. He just retweeted it, or he just put it out there.
I think it's a way of trying to send a statement to that locker room, too. Like, no one's safe here. There's no sacred cows. No one's playing well, so all moves are on the table. I think that the Ravens, in addition to having all of those injuries, have a Matt Canada-sized problem at defensive coordinator. Zach Orr's been bad for 2 years. He was so bad last year that they had to bring Dean Pease out of retirement.
Oh, and Mike
and Tomlin
loved
talked
that.
About the Dean Pease effect and how we kept seeing Pease all over their defense. And seriously, and how what a big difference it made between the first time they played the Ravens and the second two
no,
times they played them.
I know.
So the guy was bad enough where you had to rehire someone to hold his hand, and now his defense has gone back in the toilet. I get it. There's no Roquan Smith. There's no Kyle Hamilton. There's no big time stars there. Madubuike is out for the season too, but it shouldn't be this bad. It shouldn't be so bad that you're playing a Houston team that couldn't block you or me on their offensive line, and C.J. Stroud goes in there and has a career high with 4 passing touchdowns, and it's the most lopsided home loss in Ravens history.
Tony, they're on pace to be the first team ever to give up 600 points in a season.
Yes,
literally.
So that's where I would start it. I mean, you could do what you want with Owe trades. I thought he was overrated at Penn State because he got pressures but never got sacks. So you could do all this window dressing. The real problem is probably your coordinator. And I hope I want this to go as long as it can because I don't want the Ravens to get their crap together.
I mean, I would actually say if you're speaking to, like, specifically about the defense, yeah, I think the coordinator's been really bad. The real problem is they don't have Jackson to overcome these 37-point
yes.
allowances.
But they really weren't overcoming them before he got hurt anyways.
I mean, they scored 40. Losing 41-40 is a lot different than like 38-30 in a game that wasn't that close. 37-20, 44-10. I mean, when you have Jackson, you have a puncher's chance. But if you don't have Jackson in your defense, is this stinky, then you're going to be in a very bad way.
Right, but I'm saying outside of the Bills, where they gagged, they played two legitimate Super Bowl contenders in Kansas City. I know they're 2-3. And the Lions.
And they got
humiliated. Lamar Jackson wasn't enough to overcome their defensive struggles in either one of those games. So they've got deep.
The Chiefs game is, I can't believe I'm saying this, the Chiefs game was the one that got it on my radar, truly. Because until that point, their offense looked like it was in the wilderness somehow. And the Chiefs got right offensively in that game.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Bad times, no matter what way, I guess my biggest takeaway is, no matter what way you want to slice this trade, the fact that it is happening just foretells more bad times there in Baltimore. I mean, it feels like things are crumbling a little bit. In fact, doesn't it feel like there's a comparison you could make a little bit to Penn State and the Ravens? Two teams forecast every year to be one of the ones standing at the end.
Yeah.
Suddenly they're suffering some very bad losses, and suddenly the buzzards feel like they're circling a little bit, other than the Jackson injury not having an analog with Penn State.
And I'm going to pat myself on the back and say I've never wavered on either of those two teams. I've always said the Ravens are not going to win a Super Bowl as long as Lamar Jackson is their quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always said that Penn State's not going to win anything as long as James Franklin's their head coach.
All right, twofold. One, you don't deserve any credit for the Penn State thing because no one's ever believed in them.
Oh, really? Because Pompeiani picked them to win the national championship before the season started, and so did Donnie.
On this, well.
Donnie?
I did. Just trying to help you there. Nobody in this room has ever given them a chance. And the Baltimore thing, I'm not giving on Jackson specifically. I'm not saying he's done to have any chance to win a Super Bowl till he's retired.
I don't, Do you think that, in all seriousness, do you think he's going to be an electric runner when he's 34 or 35 years old? And I get it. He is more advanced as a passer than his biggest critics here in Pittsburgh give him credit for. He's not a running back playing quarterback. He is clearly more than that. You don't throw for 40 touchdowns in a season.
I expect the big question, I guess, with him 7 years from now is, will the advancements as a passer continue to such an extreme degree or a significant degree that the threat of him running no longer needs to exist
for him
to pick teams apart? Well, then you have to ask some of the same questions I would think about Josh Allen, don't you? Who also hasn't won one, because I think they're very similar. I think the threat of Josh Allen taking off and running makes it easier for Josh Allen, the passer, to throw the ball to open people. He's not the same kind of runner, but I mean, that dude bulldozing you for 20 yards is still similar to Lamar dancing out of bounds.
I agree with that. I mean, I think Ben diversified his game later and became a better pocket quarterback than he was at the beginning of his career, a lot better.
Yeah, but he was never the kind of runner that either of these guys are.
No, but he was an extend the play guy. He wasn't,
sure, but that's different than like a team being worried Lamar might run 70 yards on you.
I agree with you on that, actually.
Like, example, Justin Fields clearly never figured out a way and still has never figured out a way to turn that threat of him running into becoming Justin Fields, the very precision passer. Actually, this whole discussion, by the way, even though this team is 2-3, do you want to know what this whole discussion drives home? It is comical, because this team still looks good offensively all of a sudden, that people ever really doubt Mahomes. Who did throw one yakker of a pick six yesterday. Yeah, don't get me wrong.
What are you talking about? This is a perfect time to doubt him. He threw an interception that was James Harrison 2.0.
I still think they're in the playoffs. I heard Starkey this morning say he thinks that they're probably going to end up in like the AFC title game again. I kind of feel the same way.
Joe has texted me on back-to-back nights when the Bills were playing on Sunday night and when the Chiefs were playing and then losing last night, asking, is this all going to be the Chiefs hosting the AFC championship game yet again?
Well, they'd really have to get their ass in gear to host it, because they've got a losing record through five games. They would need a one seed or somebody like that to lose, which I guess is always possible.
I think they got to figure out potentially a looming Denver Broncos problem.
I was just
going
to say, Joe is also the guy that keeps predicting the Broncos to win the AFC West. And to be honest with you,
he did actually,
good time to say it, because they just beat Philadelphia.
He did actually say in the course of his show this morning, I was listening, that he thinks the Broncos might be like the best team in the AFC. And if their offense keeps trickling in the right direction, it does not seem insane.
Well, I think there's a clear-cut best team in the AFC right now, but nobody believes in them because of who their quarterback is.
Dan Dimes.
The Colts have been the best team through five games.
Second-ranked offense, third-ranked
defense. Not even close. They've got a running back that's had 2-3 touchdown games. When they've ran into bad teams, they haven't just beaten them, they've destroyed them.
Hammered by the Rams offensively, not in terms of final score, but almost 470 yards. Broncos, it was a squeaker. Yeah, I think good teams crush bad teams, and they've played three bad ones and crushed them.
They lost the game on the road to the Rams because Daniel Jones threw two interceptions that were bad ones, and A.D. Mitchell pulled a fumble at the goal line.
Mercado. You know what? While we're on the subject,
how does that keep happening?
You told me that your strategy for Survivor Leagues, which I decided to adopt in one of my leagues where I still had one of my two entries left, was pick whoever's playing the Titans.
Yep.
And you know, I almost texted you yesterday or 2 days ago and said, Pony, great strategy. We're on cruise control here. And then the Cardinals picked maybe the most pathetic, worst way I cannot remember a team with a worse loss. DeMercado, and then the holy roller going the wrong way for a... I want to swear right now, I'm so mad.
They had like three things happen in that game that could have been
DeMercado,
on like a football
fumble,
follies.
And then what was
How about
the
snap off Kyler's face?
Yeah. Yep.
I know it didn't lead to a Titans score, I don't think, but still very funny. They had to take him
not
into the locker
funny.
Room thinking that it would be a concussion.
Not very funny. That crushed my soul.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.